We've been looking at the biblical reason for the new ministry that will be starting. And again, it's the HOPE program. It's helping others overcome these sin issues and addictions that are in their life. I was asked, I guess it's been 5 or 6 years ago, for help. And, I gave a lot of instruction, what I knew, and there's some things, some addictions they're powerful, and I think we know that. And so I talked to this person. I said, I'm gonna find God's answers. And I've made it a endeavored study for many years. I've looked at, there's all kinds of programs out there and lots of curriculums. And again, I've not said nothing, nor will I, negative about any other. I'm just thankful people are trying to help people. But the route that we're going, I find it to be a superior curriculum in that this program leads people not to be dependent upon a program or a person, but dependent upon the Lord. And truly, that's the only answer for permanent freedom. And so we'll be entering this. And so I want to read this and kind of, I plan one more week to speak on it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, read with me verse number 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." The fact is this, that you have a description of a lot of people and their lifestyle and how they're headed towards hell. They involve themselves in this. They love these sins and they have no desire to get right with God. And unless they learn of the saving power of the gospel, they're going, unfortunately, to die and go to hell. And the fact is that there are some in this auditorium right now, to God be the glory, of such were some of you. Sins, and by the way, throw this out there real quick. We all have sin issues. The addict's is just a different type than ours in some ways. But it's still a sin issue. So I'm getting excited. I've been praying. We're going to launch on Thursday night, October the 21st. On Thursday night, October the 21st. And I want to encourage you to join in. We are going to start that 6:30 over in the school building. We'll meet together, and then we'll divide, and then we'll meet together again to close that out, and then we'll come over here right about the time we've gone through announcements and two hymns and jump in here during prayer request. And so, excited about that. I want to encourage as many as would like and desire to join us. You say, "Oh, I'm not addicted to anything." Well, praise the Lord, but these principles are not just for addictions. These are for overcoming and being a partaker of the divine nature of Christ and living a victorious Christian life with a walk with the Lord and the peace and the joy of God in your life. Who couldn't use that? Amen. And so I encourage you, if you'd like to come over, we will jump right into things on the 21st. I don't expect a huge crowd from the outside to come in, and that's almost by design, because this is not something that I can do. This is something that we have to do. And it's something that we all need to work together. And so we need people that are comfortable in this and are ready to be involved in this ministry. At the same time, I've already had two that have said that they're going to be there. What I want us to be careful about when we start this ministry is simply this, that we, number one, don't be afraid. All right? Don't be afraid. And do not look at, anyone that would come. And here's the phrase, and I talked to a couple of pastors who run these programs, and they said one of the biggest first hindrances that they had is that church members looked at them as those people. And I'd encourage you to instead every time we see someone, and I hope we have many who will come, that we just see them as this, as of such were some of us. Amen? And every pastor told me that as the church watches and see God works miracles in these lives, that it will be an exciting and a great time of revival for the church. Again, I would say all of us have sin issues. All of us need help to walk closer to the Lord. I would encourage us as we get closer to this date to remember, turn over real quick to James chapter number 2 real quick. James chapter number 2. And the good part, I've told these pastors I've been speaking to, I haven't had one person say anything negative about the ministry and starting it. But at the same time, all right, I know, you know, that the mind says, well, what if, right? And your mind can go different places. But yet, the Bible, what are we here for as believers? We're here to see people get saved, people help people's lives. And so, you know, look at the scripture. In James chapter 2, look at verse number 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not the rich oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Skip down to verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We can all amen on services that we need to be reaching the lost and trying to rescue families and people's lives and put them on that right path, a path that God will bless them and use them in a wonderful way, and we'll amen that. But if we don't do it, that's faith without works. Amen? And so it's something that we should learn to get a desire and learn to not, again, be a respecter of persons. And that's a battle for every one of us. I mean, we've had families in the last year who's come in, you know, a family of 7, 8, and they sit there, you know, and they all have their tie on, and they all sit there, and they stand and sing their song, and, you know, we flood around them after church and, you know, get to know them, what business they do and where they came from, and get to know their family, and boy, excited that they're here, and we should be just as excited about Rich. And you should have spent just as much time welcoming him and talking to him too. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, we're become a respecter of persons. God forbid. You're all quiet tonight, aren't you? Oh, yeah. God forbid. It's not tired, brother. God forbid. You have to, I'm talking to pastors, not just for, you know, get counsel and things on this kind of stuff, but also, you know, we're going to be wise. Brother Joshua's putting up a few more cameras in the buildings where we'll be having the meetings. And are you afraid? No, but I'm going to be wise, all right? And and if you ever see something you're concerned about, then tell me. Amen? I don't expect it. There's been very little of those kind of things happening. And this may blow your socks off, but it's not till about the fourth week that I, you know, part of the requirement is to attend a church service. They'll be in there well over a month. Now, they're welcome to come anytime. And there's no reason for that other than you're building a relationship and planting some seeds that are ready then to be watered. So what can the church do? Again, I said this. This is something that I can't do by myself. I don't have the ability. And if we're going to do it, we all have to do it. So I want to give you an acronym to help tonight. What you can do. All right? So I encourage you to write this down if you got your prayer sheet or you have a notebook. Write down the word recovery. R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y. Recovery. Recovery. And then look at these scriptures with me, and here's what you can do and keep in mind as we begin this ministry. Number one, the R is going to stand for reason. Reason. What's the reason of this, and how should we think or reason about this? Put this text by it, Isaiah chapter 42, and turn over there when you're done there. Isaiah chapter number 42. Isaiah 42 and in verse number 22. Isaiah 42 and in verse number 22. The very first thing we can do as a church together is reason. Isaiah 42 and in verse 22 and 23. Look what the scripture says here. It says, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?" Reason. I ask that the whole church that we think about what we're doing here. To think about the fact that there are people who have been robbed and spoiled of their life. Robbed and spoiled of productive years. Robbed and spoiled of their family. Robbed and spoiled of their children. They're trapped. They're snared in holes, as the Bible says. They're in prison houses right now. They are for a prey. The devil's wreaking havoc in their life. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? I ask the church to reason this. What is the reason? And to think about it. Consider it. What we're doing. God has given to every one of us, according to Paul's epistles, the ministry of what? Reconciliation. That's to restore those who have drifted away. That's all of our ministry. And again, we're not starting some, you know, program or they're going to dry out and we're going to give them some medication. All we're doing is teaching them the Bible. As we went over through, again, I know just a quick glimpse of what we'll be teaching them. It starts with faith, salvation. Introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand this, that while we sit here tonight and we're, you know, praise the Lord for our families and our homes and our church and a good place to meet, there are people right now who are sitting in an empty apartment who know what their sin is doing. It greatly affirmed in my heart. I've been praying. I already knew the will of God. I knew what direction we need to head in. I just want you to know that Rich blessed me Sunday from the Lord. Because there's more sitting in their house. There are people right now that are looking and doing internet searches for help for addictions. And the world's going to throw a lot of stuff at them. But if it's not Christ-centered, it's going to lack in a major, major thing. Reason. Letter E, I would write down the word education. Education. Then write down Isaiah 55 and in verse number 7. Isaiah 55 and in verse number 7, education. I'll read maybe verse 6 and 7 might be good. Isaiah 55, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." I stop and pause there because Why don't you, if you doubt the need of this, just stay here in Goshen. Talk to the police about how many drug overdose deaths they've dealt with this year in our backyard. It's a real issue. People literally are dying. They're dying. And I read, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I'm not trying to guilt us into anything. I'm telling you, this is why we're going forward. This is why we're going to seek this. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Look what it says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have what? Praise the Lord. Mercy upon him. To our God, for he will abundantly what? Pardon. Amen. There are people who are stuck in their wicked ways. And remember when we went over the steps and what we're going to try to teach? The ways are a product of their thinking. The thinking has led them, and the mind is so corrupt and bound by these things. And that's what is addressed here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I say education because that's what we're bringing them here for, is to teach them that there is hope. There is deliverance. There is a God who loves them, who will put them on the right path, who has given us instruction on how to live the right life, and that God will pardon you and cleanse you, and praise the Lord for it. Education. Reason, education. Letter C, compassion. What can the church do? Reason, learn about these things, try to help, give people the truth, and then compassion. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse number 8. 1 Peter 3 and in verse number 8. 1 Peter 3, 8 says this. It says, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Have compassion. You know, be pitiful. And I'm not trying to stretch anything, but who are you pitiful towards? I mean, nobody walked in, right, in a $900 suit with $500 pair of shoes and drives in a, you know, Mercedes. None of you are going to say, oh, I'm having such pity on him, right? Right? I mean, you may say, nice car, nice suit, right? But pity's not going to be rolling out, right? But you all see the little commercials, right, with the little dogs. Their big eyes, and they look at you. They have no home. Send $25 a month. Rescue these dogs. Okay, right? You're showing pity. You see a need and people hurting and respond to it. That's called compassion. The difference between pity and compassion. Pity is seeing a need and feeling sad. Compassion is seeing a need, having your heart broken, and then doing something about it. Multiple times the Lord Jesus Christ looked across and he saw a city or a town, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. That means he hurt for them, and then he went into the town and did something. Compassion is seeing a need and doing something about it. The Bible says to have compassion one of another. Reason, education, compassion. And then here's another thought on why we're doing this and how we all get on the same page. The O is this: one way. One way. John chapter number 14. I say one way. John chapter 14 and in verse number 6. I think, can you quote that verse? Jesus said, was it Brother Jordan? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way for help and deliverance is the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew talks about that there's a broad way that leads to what? Destruction. But there's a narrow way that leads to life. The only way. We teach our kids last year, we're reviewing them this year, biblical principles to live by. And biblical principle number one is hope. Only God knows how to make life work. He created life. He's the only one that has it figured out. You don't. I don't. I know what I know, and you know what you know, but I don't think any of us would stand up and say, I've got the whole thing figured out, right? Only God knows how to make life work. He created life, and He is the only way to have eternal victory. That's it. So we dare not sit back and say, well, I'll let the government fix everything. Seriously? Right? I'll let the government give these addicts victory. It isn't going to work. I'm not saying they can't help get people moving in the right direction. But the Lord's the only way to heaven, and the Lord is the only way to a promised victory. R-E-C-O, then the letter V, which I just said, victory. Victory. In 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John chapter number 5, and verse number 4, 1 John 5, 4 says this, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. We can and should have victory. I don't care what sin has bound you or anyone else out in the world. God promised that a faith in Him, and if they are a child of God, that they can have victory. That's a promise. And we sit here with this promise in our hand. So how many do we expect to rescue? I have no idea, but if it's one in 20 years, it's worth it. Amen. Such were some of you. Just think of what addictions would have bound your sin, your life, and my life if we hadn't gotten saved. The fact is this, God is the one that gave the victory. The reason I'm not a mess and bound in some sin tonight or dead is because God did a work in my life. It's not me. It's He who works through me and for me. It is God that does that. And so victory, and I want you to grab that word because that is what anyone and everyone can have if they'll yield to this book right here. Victory. Recovery. Reason, education, compassion, one way. Victory. The letter E, effort. Effort. It's going to take work. Us not reaching out to anyone will help no one. That's an easy fact, right? If we do nothing, no one's going to be helped. And if we're going to reach others, it's going to take some work. I wrote down Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse number 23 next to that word. Jeremiah, I'll read it to you real quick. Jeremiah chapter 7. And in verse number 23, it says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. It's going to take obedience, it's going to take effort, it's going to take work. We're going to have to do something if we're going to see production. There's a principle in the Word of God, sowing and reaping. And if we sow, God promised we would reap. Faith without what is dead? Works. What is works? It's effort. Sitting in a church every week, that's a wonderful thing to do. But if God wants us and wants you to do something more in some way, then be willing to do it. Effort, the letter R, remember. Remember. And I just wrote down the text where we started. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Corinthians 6, again, verses 9 through 11. Remember what? Of such were some of you. Remember that. if there was a sin or a bottle or a needle or a screen or whatever it is had controlling your life at one time, you should be the first person to say, yes, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's help someone. In the letter Y, I wrote the word yield. Yield. There's lots of verses you could write. I wrote down Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. The addict is a servant to their sin. But they can have victory. You and I will be involved in this ministry according to how we yield ourselves. And I write the word yield, and I just ask you, be willing to pray. Be willing to give. Be willing to serve. If you just keep those thoughts as you pray for this ministry, and I hope you will, just look over that list when you pray. And ask God to help us with this. Now, again, I'm trying to get a lot in these few weeks. Let me give a quick rundown of how it will work on a Thursday. At 6:30, we're going to meet together in a room. I need people who will welcome other people who will stand there, and then people who will sit with people. Again, don't need 150 people in there. But if God speaks to your heart and wants you to do it, then there's a reason. Because we need people to sit, people to talk, and no one should ever be sitting alone. Someone has to sit and pass out. We're going to start by passing out two cards to them, an information card with some information, contact information, and then one, a prayer request card. And then after everyone's there, we're going to collect those prayer request cards, and we're going to read those, and then we're going to have a time of prayer together. We're going to pray. Then we're going to separate into groups. Men and ladies will always be separate for many reasons during this teaching time. And so I need some ladies to go sit with some ladies and some lady who will be willing to teach a lesson. It's not a difficult lesson. I have it all. I just need you to look over it, pray over it, and let the Lord lead you in it. But we'll sit. We'll never have a class more than six. I don't want to overwhelm. And what we have to do, we can't have larger than that. But we'll separate then. When we separate, we're going to share and let people give testimonies how their week went, because especially those who are struggling through addictions, what we're looking for is testimonies of victory. We're not going to let people sit there and talk about all the bad things they did, all right? That's not what we want, all right? But testimonies of victory. We want to avoid anybody being a time hogger. We all have those, all right? Sometimes when I go to nursing home, we have, prayer request, or sometimes someone will raise their hand and say, can I tell you something? And in 20 minutes, it's going to be over, right? So someone who can help in keeping things rolling, all right? Also in that time, we'll work on whatever scripture we're memorizing, because a key to victory, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We'll always be working on a biblical scripture memorization. And then we'll also, during that time, be talking about these 15 biblical truths that our kids are very great with, but 15 biblical truths that will help change our life. And we'll just take one at a time for several weeks probably, and just build on that. And this is, by the way, this is not a 6-week, 9-week, 3-month, 9-month program. This is a till we're done, and until they get it. A minimum, about a little less than a year. But we're going to teach them scriptures and these biblical truths, and then build that relationship through this talking time. Then we'll come back together, and then I or someone else will teach the entire group together these different, remember those things we talked about, the divine nature of God and being a partaker in that. And we'll start with faith, and then we'll build from there from Peter in chapter number 1. Then we'll have a little bit of fellowship time, and so just to be able to talk and have a little snack before we dismiss. I also will need people for childcare, because there's lots of moms or single dads that are struggling with things, and they need somewhere for their kids to be. And during that time, it'd be great. We're not going to waste that time by letting them play on the swing set only. All right, we'll let them have a good time, but let's give them the gospel message. Amen. And let's let them do a craft and build a relationship with them as well. I need someone to help transportation possibly. There may be some right down the road been contacting the recovery center and allowing some people, if they would like to come. And someone may need to go and pick them up, and that would be a blessing as well. It's a slow pace because we're, again, don't take this the wrong way, but we're seeking to transform the mind. Again, I'm not talking brainwash or some psychological thing here. I mean, we want them to get to think like God, to think biblically, to have this book wash their minds thoroughly. Paul talked about the transforming of the mind, and that's what we seek to see done. And then, as we begin, we teach them how to have a walk with God, how to meditate on the Word of God. And that's where I had a quote the other day. And I don't know if I ask you to look at it, see if he can challenge you to look at it, see if you can find it. But God never promised, great blessings for reading the Bible. His promise is always associated with meditating on the Word of God and thinking on it and meditating on His Word. And then we want them to obviously start attending church, because they're going to need a church. They're going to need each other like we do. After they get saved, we want to see them get baptized. We want to see them start attending church and serving the Lord. And when the miracles start happening, it'll change our lives. Ultimately, I wrote down these three things. We're seeking to rescue sinners, reclaim saints, and recruit servants. There's another word for that phrase. It's called the Great Commission. This is an avenue like some others in our church's past, not this one, but churches like us over the last 200 years. The more we keep just handing things over to a godless government to run, what help is there? So we'll seek to help. Again, someone asked me, well, if I go to that class, people will think I have an issue. We all have issues. We all have issues. So if you come to class and I'm in there, I got issues. So let me tell you another word for that. The devil will try to use pride to keep us from getting help. So I'm not going to have Brother Joshua, stand up and say, my name is Joshua Morgan, and I'm a gambler, all right? We don't have that confession time, all right? We don't seek that. We're just seeking to give people hope, the Bible. And in fact, I don't want, we don't have confession booths, and nor do we confess, don't need to confess to each other our sins. Just get right with God. So come, if the Lord leads you to, speak a little bit more on it next Thursday.